13, verse 18, through to the end of the chapter. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I trust that you will be encouraged and blessed through our message on humility. We're visiting again the Lord Jesus washing his disciples' feet. This is part two of yesterday's message, and I hope that you will take it in that the Christian life is a life of self-denial, not self-promotion. And if this was acknowledged and followed, What a wonderful Christian society we would have in our homes, in our churches, congregations, and in our nation. Let this be the witness of the believer, that all men may know that you have been born again, changed from being a selfish, inward-looking, narcissistic, proud person to one who is sitting at Jesus' feet to learn of him, and even willing to wash the feet of God's disciples. May the Lord minister to your heart and bring us each one to a checking of our own life of service. Are we doing it for self, or are we doing it for Jesus and others? Remember the little acrostic on joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself third. That's joy, and you will find that when you serve the Lord. Stay tuned now as we move to the pulpit of our church for our ministry today.
Thank thee for this table that is set to strengthen our faith, enabling us to look again to the bleeding Lamb, to the Savior on the cross. But beyond that, we now see the Savior risen, glorified, seated at the Father's right hand, ready to one day come again and receive us unto yourself. O Lord, we wait therefore with expectation, with this glorious hope, that our Lord shall appear in the clouds of glory. And we ask thee to draw near to us today. By your Spirit come, minister to us. Give help in the pew, take away every distraction, and grant, Lord, your presence here in the pulpit. I need you, Lord. I need your help. I need an unction from thyself. Send the Holy Spirit upon me now. Fill me with thy power, I pray, and enable me to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Amen. We're back in John 13, and on this Communion Sunday, we come again to a very applicable passage. This is the night in which the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And as we have learned, we really don't get any details in this chapter about that. We have nothing about the symbols, nothing about who was present, nothing about the table itself, how it was served. Rather, it is just a time marker. The Lord's Supper was instituted, and here we learn that on that night, Satan entered into Judas, and his heart was tinder dry, a powder keg, ready to explode in his treachery of his own Savior. Now, we must remember that the Lord had just finished washing the disciples' feet, and he did so to demonstrate his own personal love to each one of these disciples. And we learned that in verse 1, that having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And so, in humiliation, in a servant spirit attitude, our Lord took the apron, washed the disciples' feet one by one. And yet, if you look at verse 11, you will see he said, "Ye are not all clean." Now, what could he mean by that? Ye are not all clean. Well, he went on in verse 12 to say that one of you shall betray him. Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. And so while he was washing the disciples' feet, becoming very intimate and close with each of the disciples, the Lord himself was troubled by this wretched secrecy that was within Judas' heart. He was ready to pull the dagger of betrayal in the darkness of night. But here, the Lord begins to expose him. And he says in verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, before there was one word of betrayal even mentioned, or before any disciple suspected anything at all, the Lord knew that he would sell him into the hands of his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. And that wound was very hurtful. Indeed, there is a prophecy from Psalm 41 that mine own familiar friend whom I've trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And this night, the Lord Jesus, although he was altogether God, he was yet also very man. And in his heart, he felt the treachery. He felt the evil of what Judas was about to do. One has said that there is no grief like the treachery of a child. And this Judas was the subject of the Lord's teaching, training, guiding him in the way of life. And now he was to stab him. No wonder the Lord used that event to give out a number of warnings. And I want you to look at these three texts where you have the word verily, verily. Verse 16, verse 20, and again in verse 21. Now, that seems to be a very concentrated usage of this word verily. And it means truly. There's no kidding here. There's no joke. There's no mistake. This is a very solemn warning that the Lord is given out in this very time. And the Lord was sharing something very solemn and serious. And it came from a heart that was torn and bleeding for Judas and all who would be hurt by his total denial of Christ on this very night. And so we can write over the portion we have read in John 13, the Lord's warnings. There's the Lord's warnings about Judas. There's the Lord's warnings about Satan. He's the one that entered into Judas' heart. And then there is a warning regarding Peter. Peter the boaster. And the Lord warned him that this night thou shalt deny me thrice. And so this is indeed a chapter of very serious, earnest warnings to all who read this portion. So we begin with the warning of Judas, a false professor. Now, Judas and his actions is a great revelation of human nature and the underlying powers that can be at work in the human heart. The very name Judas, to everyone beyond the church even today, conjures up the reality that all may not be as it seems in any group of professing Christians. No matter how close to the Lord, no matter how well known outwardly, there yet may be a false professor who has lived a phony cover-up life and done it ever so well. And the shocking thing about this incident of Judas is the extreme hardness that comes over a backsliding professing Christian. Now, this act of Judas was not a momentary failure caught out when he was off guard. Everything about Judas was premeditated. It was planned, plotted, and the scheme was falling into place. He had already negotiated with his enemies. He had entered into a treacherous deal, and now he was sitting at the table. He was allowing the Lord to wash his feet with an appearance that he was just one of the disciples. Such a callous picture is given here of this man, Judas. And he was a traitor and hardened in spite of his knowledge. Think of everything that this man knew. for 3 years, a disciple. He had witnessed miracles. He had been at the Sermon on the Mount. He had heard the Lord preach and teach to the multitudes, to the disciples, in the inner circle, in homes, one-to-one. He knew all about the Lord's character. He knew all about the Lord's power. Indeed, it's quite possible that Judas even performed miracles in Jesus' name. Think on that. How could he have such power if he was faking it? And Judas knew the Godhood of Christ. He knew the I Am account, the deity, the equality with the Father. He heard and knew all of that. But knowing these things did not convert him. Judas was a hard-hearted unbeliever who hastened the Lord's death for personal monetary gain rather than resting in the death of Christ for salvation. What a picture this draws of this man. And we learn that knowledge alone will not count on that great day. It's not enough to know these things. It's not enough to be a church-going Christian with Bible in hand and perhaps Bible verses that you've memorized and knowing doctrine, catechism, questions, answers. These things will not save you. Rather, they may harden your heart. You may become immune and inured to the warnings of Scripture, and you may be a traitor of heart. And so here is a tremendous warning to all of God's people who profess faith in the Lord Jesus. For Judas, it was blindness. It was darkness. See the comment in verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. There's a darkness. There's a shrouded evil around this man's actions. It was night in his soul. It was night in his future destiny. Where he was going was to go out into the darkness physically on that evening, but into eternity, to outer darkness. Oh, the blindness and the darkness of a state. And in his blindness, he was plotting, planning the despicable act of betraying his own Lord. And this is what happens when a person rejects the personal invitations to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. When you misuse or reject the light, you go on and on further into darkness. Now his heart was hardened in spite of the warning that one of you is not clean. We looked at that statement in verse 11. Ye are not all clean. Now that ought to have been a jolt to the heart of Judas. It ought to have put the brakes upon what he was up to. The Lord suspects me, but he never even faltered. He kept on in his evil pursuit. Then also, in spite of the Lord naming his evil deed of betrayal, again in verse 21, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now here is the Lord honing in with a fine focus point on the very evil deed, the act of betrayal. Surely that should have been an alarm in the heart of Judas. But no, his heart was so hardened, he was so granite-like in his conscience, that should really have rocked his confidence in what he was doing. And he should have seen that he was already found out and judged, and he was being rebuked in a measured way before performing finally that evil act of treachery. He ought to have realized, the Lord knows my crime. He knows what I'm plotting. And yet out of hardness of heart, he continued to plunge into this crime. Again, in spite of his acceptance by the Lord and the disciples, the Lord didn't refuse to wash his feet. There wasn't a disciple that suspected a thing about Judas. He was fully treated as one of them. He was looked upon as a brother, a fellow worshiper and disciple. Indeed, I would say to the commendation of all the other disciples, when the Lord says, one of you shall betray me, the disciples didn't look around and point the finger at anybody except themselves. They said, is it I? They never suspected Judas or anyone else. They pointed the finger at themselves. And perhaps so did Judas say the same thing. Is it I? What wickedness, what hardness of heart. A man in the very discharge of his crime, and he's facing the Son of God, who is able to read his heart and expose him to a degree here, and yet he doesn't cow, he doesn't budge from his actions, and he goes through with his very evil deed. I wonder, could you be like that? Could you be so hardened, so callous, so determined in your evil to betray the Lord? Well, let me prove to you that you're not. Let me prove to you that you are not as Judas, that you are not a traitor. You come to seek the Lord here today. You come to remember his death, and you come to do it gladly. You come with a spirit of thanksgiving, not to betray the Lord, not to add any shame or hurt to him, but rather you come to honor the Lord and to thank him for his death on that cross. That's the difference between a Judas and a true Christian. A true Christian could not deny him. A true Christian could not hold out against this searching of the Savior against his soul. But the hypocrite could. And the true believer comes to the communion table with thanksgiving. That's the key. After all, the Greek word behind it is Eucharist, thanksgiving. And as you come to take this cup and bread and offer your worship, your love gift to the Lord, you are saying, Lord, thank you from the depth of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross for me and taking my place. And I repent of my sins. I hate the sins that nailed you to the cross. And I flee from them, and I take refuge in the blood that is represented in the cup here today. That's the heart of the Christian. That's the desire of the child of God. And I trust it's true of you today. I want you to be a participant. I want you to be taking that cup and bread and hearing even from your heart, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. And so you're warned. Now again, the hardness of Judah's heart is seen that even when the Lord gave the sop, which was bread dipped in the dish, and gave it to Judas, and the Lord had said, after the disciples inquired, who is it? Is it I? And the Lord said, it is the one to whom I give the sop. And then immediately he advanced and he gave it to Judas. Look at verse 26. He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Do you see how careful John is in writing this? He identifies who this Judas is, lest he be mixed up with any other. He's Judas, the son Iscariot, the son of Simon. And yet, this pointed, unmistakable arrow that was driven toward Judas didn't move him, didn't shake him. He brushed it off, and he did not turn in any repentance. What did he do? He went out from that company. His heart remained hardened as adamant stone, and he chose darkness over light. He could not enjoy that company anymore. He went to his own place. That's very searching, very revealing of his heart. And when someone, perhaps born into the Christian home and church going, and hears the gospel, and at some point rejects the light, turns from the truth of the gospel, and says, no to it, and they go out to their own company, and it is night. It is certainly night in their soul. Now, I hope that your heart is not as hardened as Judas, but that you will hear the warning and receive the call to throw down your opposition to Christ, to trust him, believe in him, and be saved. Let me ask you then, are you a Judas? Or are you coming to this table to take the cup and bread with a wonderful heart of thanksgiving? That's the mark of the true believer.
This is Ian Gollaher for Let the Bible Speak. I hope that today that this is a great warning. Some passages in the Bible are just great big red flags of warning, warning us that we do not become inured or hardened to the message of the gospel. So close, so busy handling sacred things that we yet are children of darkness. I hope that today that you have that blessed assurance that you are saved. And of course, the mark of the saved soul is the humility that is born in the heart, that we are no longer serving self and our own agenda, but that we are truly yielded to serve the Lord and to serve others. And if you are not saved, today give your heart to the Lord. He will save you. He will give you a new heart with a new disposition, and you will be enabled by gospel power to live a new life as a Christian. That is the wonderful power of the gospel, because the gospel is indeed the power of God unto salvation. It is that dynamite within our souls. And if you become a Christian, trust the Lord as your Savior, you will be able to live a new life. The old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. And if I can be of personal help in your search to know the Lord, I'm here for you. Give me a call. I look forward to hearing from you even today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.